Today, it's Edwin's Monday evening property rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Just before we start, a quick reminder that tomorrow I'll be running my live stream event with Tony LeCantro, and we'll be talking about the markets and specifically focusing on small caps. You can ask a question live on the YouTube chat and join us at 8 p.m. Sydney time tomorrow. But now, of course, as it's Monday, it's time for Edwin and his rant, and it's hot, and Edwin's with me. Hi, Edwin. How are you going?
G'day, Martin. Talk about being hot. I tell you what, it's a scorcher out there. When I drove out this morning, I had four good tyres. When I came back, I think they're all bald now.
It is pretty warm out there at the moment, absolutely. So it's been quite a cool summer up to this point, but it's making up for it now, isn't it?
Look, it is. It's rather interesting. It's going to, they tell me it's going to even get hotter tomorrow, and that's not by all the protesting and all the other stuff that's going on around Australia Day celebrations or not. It's going to get hot in terms of temperature. But one thing for sure, Martin, is that, I think I'm seeing and I'm a believer that this hot property market's going to start cooling down post towards the end of this month, early next month, because we're seeing a lot of properties come on in areas that we've been looking for clients. And that was one of the things that we previewed last week with regards to listing numbers being really low, and FOMO out there was running rampant. But now even the agents that we've spoken to over the weekend, the majority, 9 out of 10 have said they've got a lot more listings coming on, and they're going to come on in the next few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And Louis Christopher was quoted in the AFR highlighting precisely the same thing in terms of the auction count. And my surveys were making the same point, that there are a lot of people who were considering listing, and, they will. And interestingly, Edwin, I've picked up one thing, and that is that people are quite keen to list quickly before we get to the end of March. Now, I wonder what could be happening at the end of March.
Well, this is one of the points that I wanted to raise with you, Martin, and that is, understanding the industry and what's happening out there. Effectively, you've got, as I've said, there's 44,000 registered real estate agents in New South Wales. When you start bringing it down to where it's affecting us, where we are in Sydney, you look at the Sydney region and the broader part of the Sydney region, you would have close to 24,000-25,000 of those agents being registered in the Sydney, in the greater region, of which I dare say that anywhere between 15,000 and 17,000 would be selling agents. So we've got 17,000 selling agents working in Sydney region that are out there door knocking, doing all sorts of things to get listings. And what are they telling the people? List now, because we don't know what's going to happen post-March. We don't know what's going to happen with regard to property. So by default, and the fact that the selling agents make money when they list and they sell the property, not just by watching the market go up, as many of the mainstream pundits reckon that the industry makes money on, it's the actual transactions. And if, so that's why I'm a believer that there's going to be a hell of a lot more listings coming on. And quite frankly, we might beat last year's numbers in the first quarter of 2021.
Yeah, and the other thing just to highlight there with regard to the end of March, of course, JobKeeper, JobSeeker is all coming to an end. The mortgage repayment holidays coming to an end, et cetera, et cetera. And interestingly, the ABS published some data recently showing the number of new constructions and high-rise coming on stream is also up. So we're going to see not only existing properties coming on and to be listed, but we're going to see a bit of a spike in terms of newly available, newly built property too. So supply-demand disequilibrium, bearing in mind that the borders are shut, migration isn't happening much, and therefore demand is, you know, there is some demand, but it's nowhere near as strong as it was. So the thought that prices are going to go really buoyant ahead looks to me to be a bit of a question mark now.
It is a bit of a rush. And as I say to people, we ourselves make money by helping people to buy. But the way that we help people to buy is by helping them to buy with an upside, not looking at somebody's renovation, not buying somebody else's renovation, but looking at something that may require a small renovation changing a few walls to change the configuration of the property in order to have an upside. Always look for the upside. Can you build an extra dwelling at the back? Can you subdivide the block? And all these sorts of things. Now, whether it be north, south, east, or west, we always look for properties with an upside for our clients. So if you want to go out there and buy, that's what you buy with. Now, this week, we've helped two clients buy, and you know what? They're paying what the agents are asking in terms of the top of the range. Why? Because the agents don't see the upside that we have identified, and it's a good deal. So if you're going to buy, go out and buy, as long as you buy with an upside. And also, as we've discussed in previous weeks, in previous months, Mark, make sure that you get an independent building and building and pest report before you go out and buy. Now, if you don't have to buy straight away, if you don't have to buy this week or next week, just hold back. There are more listings coming. By what you just mentioned with regards to the JobKeeper, JobSeeker, the insolvency moratorium that's going to be lifted. What's going to happen with businesses, small businesses, the small to medium sized businesses that have been depending and relying on JobKeeper to stay afloat. And I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if the dust is going to settle. Now, there is a bit of a sunrise, a bit of a blue sky up ahead for some people that may think that the vaccine is going to get them out of the proverbial poo. But is it really, when there's so much controversy around it, and have they rushed the vaccine? I mean, all these questions are yet to be answered. But as you and I just spoke earlier on, Martin, you had some thoughts around the vaccine yourself with regards to some of the reports that have been put out. And quite frankly, you, myself, and all our contacts can see that we may be in pretty much in this type of mode of semi-lockdown mode for the next 12 to 18 months before we really open up the economy.
Well, they have announced the first approval of one of the vaccines today, although it's hardly going to get supply, so it's going to be delayed. But I was listening to several of the health experts who've been intimately involved with the course of this over the last year or so. Of course, it's pretty much a year since the first cases of COVID happened. And they all made one point, which I think is quite interesting. Don't assume that this vaccine is a silver bullet and suddenly everything's going to snap back to normal, right? They basically reminded me of two points. The first was that, of course, it's not just what happens here, but it's international as well, because effectively we are very much needing to open our international borders. But you can't open these national borders until such time as things are really clear in other places too. So even if we get it deployed here, and people are talking perhaps by September, October time, most people will be inoculated if they want it here. But internationally, probably it could take longer. But the other interesting point that was made was, look, it's 90% effective. That means 10% not effective. That means that there is still the potential for some people to get infected and bring it back. So even post the vaccine rollout, the chances are that we're going to have more social distancing, more controls on the borders, and we'll probably have the odd flare-up. This is not going to go away anytime soon.
No, and going back to the original point that you made, Martin, is that because we're not going to have the immigration intake, because we're not going to have the tourism that we experienced in previous years, obviously all these new dwellings could potentially be sitting dormant for a very long time. Is it going to be 2 years, 3 years? And is the industry or the property sector going to be able to cope with that, regardless of how much money the government throws at it, regardless of how how much more also the banks comply with the government to try and stabilize that. I think really it's unless we see not only 260,000 new migrants coming in, but quite frankly, we're going to have to get a hell of a lot more than that and ramp that up really quickly so that all the dwellings can be filled in. Now, it's a conundrum. It's uncharted waters. But look, at the end of the day, we're focusing on what we're seeing in Sydney, in the Sydney market. I know you and other of your podcasts also focus on in other cities, and the reports that you do, you drill down into what's happening, pretty much all around Australia. But for now, for the Sydney side, is all I'm saying is just wait. The video that you showed last week of that that open house where the line stretched about 50 groups deep or so, 30, 50 groups deep by the end of by the time I left it. Well, look. In that particular region or that particular area, we did a radius search from there. And that week, there was 97 listings, freestanding homes listed on the domain portal. Last week, there was 189 freestanding homes listed on the domain portal. In that particular suburb where I shot that video, myself and my colleague, where we shot that video, there was only two listings in that suburb. Now there's five, and we spoke with a couple of the agents that were there because we went back there over the weekend to look at the other listings, and they said the same thing. There are more listings coming, and they will be coming on post Australia Day long weekend, and all the way up to Easter. So now, obviously, this is some of the feedback on the ground from this area, but. Today I spoke with agents in the North Shore, and they're telling me the same thing. My colleague spoke with a few agents in the western suburbs, and again, she's received the same feedback. There are more listings coming on. So, look, just sit back and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I keep saying there's always more property, and there's going to be more property, definitely more property coming. I go back to my surveys. The forward view I still have is that there will be considerably more properties coming on the market, not just units, but also houses as well. And the group that I'm particularly interested in, Edwin, are what I call the down traders. These are people who have been sitting on property for quite some time. They've ridden the value up. They've seen prices wobble a little bit, and now there's a little bit of a spike up for houses in some areas. So they're thinking this is just the time to sell, get out, release equity, buy something smaller, and lay a bit of a nest egg for the future. So that's one of the really critical things. And look, there are some first-time buyers who are quite interested in buying, but actually not necessarily in this particular area with those particular properties. They're too expensive, so they're buying elsewhere. So you just wonder who's going to be buying all of these properties, these freestanding homes that are, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 million, whatever the number is, right? I wonder whether the demand is really as strong as people are suggesting it is.
I think it's waning, Martin, and it'll continue to wane. I know there's. I also speak to mortgage brokers, of course, and they're telling me the same thing, that a lot of their clients are now about to put their properties on the market. Like you mentioned, the $2, 3, 4, 5 million properties are going to put them on the market, and they're just going to head north, head south, east, and head west, east. Well, the only thing you got is New Zealand if you can swim that far. But they're just going to hightail it out of Sydney. Why? Because they now feel that they've achieved the maximum price point they want out, and they are effectively buying something for half the value that they believe that they're going to achieve for their properties, and then have the rest of the other million or two. Left over for a rainy day or to live life, because they've either lost in the bank shares or they've lost in other investments. So now they feel it's time. So look, listings are coming. I think I'm seeing it on the ground. I can the areas that we work with at the moment, and I think we're going to see this trend continue. And there's going to be a lot of shift again in Melbourne from the data, from what I've seen. There's a lot of people from Melbourne buying in, from what a lot of my colleagues in Queensland tell me, that there's a lot of people moving from Melbourne to Queensland because of the price points are on par, and people are making that life change as well. And they don't have to work, they can stop working, they're retiring a lot earlier. So all these factors are coming in, and hence why I say that, I do have some recordings of some agents that have told us that more listings are coming, but we won't be sharing those today. We'll share them perhaps next week. Because I was more interested in getting a recording our friends as with regard to underquoting, which we'll share a little bit later on.
Yes, well, there is a lot going on, but let's just move over to talk about underquoting. So just a couple of sort of principles, right? I mean, there are some sort of guidelines, aren't there, that agents should not be signalling prices way off where they're actually realistically going to land. I mean, that's basically the guidance, right? But as we've discussed previously, it clearly is not working, and in many cases, people are actually putting the price way down to try and sucker people in and get them to come in and then get swept up in the emotion of an auction or whatever it is and then end up paying more than they really wanted to. So that's essentially what underquoting is. But now you've got some really sort of concrete evidence and some interesting issues raised. Now, I don't know how official your recordings were and whether people knew they were being recorded, but I'll leave you to deal with that. So if anybody wants to take it up, they'll talk to you. But nevertheless, there's some interesting perspectives, eh?
Well, look, it is the first video. Look, there's a black and white letter of the law that agents have to follow. But having said that, there are a lot of loopholes that they're avoiding. And also, let me say that 7 out of 10 times where you see underquoting, or our viewers or we've experienced notions of underquoting out there on the on the ground, I can say that the vendors are in cahoots with the agents, because technically a guide, an estimate value of the property has to be written down in the agency agreement, but 7 out of 10 agents will leave that blank. And the reason why they leave it blank is that they can then cover their ass should fair trading come along, and then they can doctor it. I'm putting it out there that 60-70% of vendors are colluding. Now, having said that, the old CEO from REIV a few years back said that that underquoting down in Melbourne wasn't the fault of the agency, it was the fault of the vendors. So there you go. Here's the ex-president of the REI, or the CEO of the REIV, said exactly what I'm alluding to now. So they blamed 100% of underquoting was because it was vendors' directions, as opposed to the agents being more morally and ethically closer to the letter of the law. Now, that aside, the first video that we're about to see, Martin, is obviously we're not identifying the agency, we're not identifying the agent, and in these videos that we're going to show our followers, our viewers, but it's interesting the conversations that were open conversations. I had other people with me. I had one of my clients. I had clients with me at all these times that I shot these videos. There were other people around, so it's not like I don't believe I did anything wrong in this case. But anyway, let's see how we go. So the first one is an agent in the Sutherland Shire saying that the Sutherland Shire is rampant and is perhaps the area of Sydney that has taken up this vagrancy, these actions of underquoting, and they've taken it on board more so than in a lot of other areas. She opens up part of the conversation referring to a listing around the corner from her listing that we were at, and she mentions that the guide on that is 2 to 2.1. She was flabbergasted when she inquired about the guide herself on that property, because she feels that that house will sell for 2.4, 2.5 quite comfortably. Now, we've got agents on tape, Martin. These are agents themselves that are selling homes that I've recorded practically confessing to the fact that this is rampant right now. My question is where are the regulators? Where are the industry bodies? What are they doing apart from sitting on their hands, doing nothing? That's the REI New South Wales, and unfortunately with Fair Trade in New South Wales, they're just understaffed. And if the government really wants to do something about it, they need to throw a lot more money to the departments that we used to look after the licensing as well as the on-the-ground actions of the agents, Martin. That this is video number one.
Is it suitable? You know what I mean? Some of it, there's one around the corner, it's a new build, they're quoting 2.2. I see it going 2.4, 2.5. I see a little bit of underquoting going on, and we're not doing that. Thank you so much. We're actually quoting the price that we hope we'll get. So, just, yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I was listening to your colleague, and she was saying that. Yeah, she's seen a lot of underquoting as well as an agent.
Oh, absolutely. It seems to be rampant here. You know, like we seem to be one of the areas that's quite bad. Shire, you know. Hello.
Hi.
How are you? Good, thanks. Thank you. Could you mind just doing a temperature check?
No worries.
Hand sanitizer and sign in. Thank you so much.
So now video number two shows a conversation had with an agent at the auction that we attended to with one of our clients on the Saturday. Now, I asked him for the guide. I asked him if the guide is still 1.3 to 1.4, given the fact that when I first went to this open house 4 or so weeks ago, he gave me the guide as 1.3 to 1.4. I asked him then, I said, look, give me the duck's guts. I want to know what, the guide may be 1.3, 1.4, but what's the vendor's real expectations? And he alluded to it being, 1.5 to 1.6, possibly even closer to 1.6. So that was 4 weeks ago. So on the Saturday gone past, we were there and I asked him if they were still guiding 1.3 to 1.4. Now, let the viewers decide, and this is the agents. The same agent telling me that the guide's still 1.3 to 1.4.
Yeah. So the guide's still 1.3 to 1.4.
That's where the majority of the feedback's been.
Yeah. So then it's still expecting 1.5 to 1.6.
Check yourself, Ashton, on that then. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cool.
Thanks.
No worries.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, how you going?
Now, at that auction, I found out later on that one of our followers, and also follows me on Twitter, wrote me a direct message telling me that he was present, he saw that I was there, and he was also given the guide of 1.3 to 1.4, given the fact that he raised the question to the agent that the property next door only a month ago sold for $1,537,000, and the property that we attended sold on the day, we have $1,537,000. Must be all the houses in the street must be worth $1,537,000. So it's just one of those anomalies or coincidences. So that's interesting to see what's happening, Martin, there. Now, video number three is a video that a discussion with an agent in North Shore that he himself is having troubles buying a home for his family in another part of Sydney where they're interested in. Now, he told me they started at around 2.8, then the offer went to 3 million, then went to 3.2, and him and another party or other parties are now, I believe, off-market offers are in, or off-market as now that they're halfway through the campaign, they're now the offers are in at around 3.4. So he actually got one of his colleagues, one of his friends, to email the listing agent in the other area and ask him for a guide. And the guide came in at 2.8, Martin. This is only yesterday or the day before yesterday. The guide came in at 2.8 when there's actual offers on the table at 3.4.
I was on the selling side for just over two decades. So I think a lot of it's got to do with that fair trading and just not policing it hard enough. They really aren't. The REI, I know, look, I was active with the REI in New South Wales, but Tim McGivern's got to pull his finger out as well and tell his board members to get with the program and start
throwing out some fines, getting a few people.
Yeah, exactly. But I used to be good mates with Tim. But we parted ways when I started challenging them and all that. But it's the liberties that a lot of agencies and a lot of agents are taking at the moment, and it's really in your face. It's scary shit. I haven't seen it this bad.
Put an offer on a home off market in December. I'm trying to get a knockdown rebuild. So we put an offer in and it started at 3.2, and they want 3.4. I'm like, we'll just see what happens at auction. It's way too much. Now it's like halfway through an auction, so I got my mate to email the guide, 2.8. I'm like, oh, come on, man. I'm like, so I feel like, my wife, it gets my wife's hopes up because she.
So this is what's happening out there. Fair Trade in New South Wales need to do something about it, and I'm not even going to ask the industry bodies to do anything about it, because they're in collusion, they're in cahoots with the agent, because the board members of Fair Trade of REI New South Wales is made up of the head honchos of the franchise groups, which in their books, in most of their books, are underquoting is fair game.
Well, it's concerning, isn't it, if it is just now an accepted industry practice that nobody really wants to call out, because it does distort the market and it's going to lure people into situations that they probably would be better to steer away from. But also it's just wasting a lot of time and effort, isn't it, as well?
Look, it is, Martin. It is wasting a lot of time and effort, but now I say they can do this whilst there's been low volumes of listings in these particular areas. But very soon they're going to get caught out. And when the mainstream media come out and start quoting agents chest beating that they've achieved 20-30% above guides and everything, and you start doing you start digging deep into what the guides were, what property sold in the area only 2 or 3 months back, how the market and the sentiment is and everything, it's a lot of BS, and you get to the to the truth, and the truth of the matter is that they were underquoting. Now I've had some contact me directly, agents that I've called out. I've had others attend my office and threatened to take me out. Don't know how. I've had other agents also come to my office and plead with me to take certain posts that I've put on over the years where I've caught them underquoting, to take them off, and making all sorts of threats. But at the end of the day, I won't. I'll continue to bring this to light, because it's something that we don't need in the industry. And there are a lot of good agents out there, Martin. I can say that the majority are good. It's just these bad apples that spring up, unfortunately, all around Sydney that make it bad. It's the, I can't even say the 10%. I reckon it's more like 20 or 25% that really make, spoil it for the rest of the agents that are out there trying to do the right thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't take that many to create, significant distrust. And, of course, it tends to create more concerns more broadly as well. So, it sort of spills out, doesn't it? So it needs to be tidied up. The industry doesn't have a great reputation at the best of times, and this is just another nail in the coffin in terms.
I think we sit below politicians and sex workers.
Spot on, exactly right. Well, the only way is up. But look, I mean, I guess the point, Edwin, is there are some really, really good agents who do precisely the right thing and go the extra mile and actually are worth their weight in gold, right? There are also some at the other end of the spectrum who really should not be in the industry and should be, just pushed away. But there's a chunk in the middle who are going to get influenced by this bad practice rather than good practice. And so if it isn't stamped out, it's just going to become more and more endemic across the industry. And it just means that the whole industry is going to get more and more contaminated. So it has to be stopped. It has to be turned off. And I'm afraid that it is fair trading in New South Wales who have the responsibility, but they don't have the resources. So the question is it likely that anything's going to change?
The only thing that will change it at the moment, Martin, is more listings on market, because this is where all the underquoters will get caught out, or the majority of the underquoters will get caught out, because they'll be quoting very low, and especially if I'm there at the auction, and I've got a client that wants to buy that property, if they're quoting 20% below what it's worth, I can assure you that I'll be putting in an offer 30-40% below what the property is really worth, which will be about 20% below their guide. And if they're going to, if the auctioneer, or when the auctioneers have questioned me as to why I'm coming in so low, I just put it to them. Well, the guide's low, so what do you want me to do? Traditionally you pay 10% below what agents ask, though it's been the tradition in the past. So what would I want to pay above the guide? And this is where a lot of people are going to get caught out, and that's how I bought some good property for some good clients in the North Shore at the end of last year. So, our followers should adopt that and be firm, and just don't be persuaded by the BS. That emotional FOMO, fear of missing out sentiment is still a little bit hot at the moment. But look, just sit back, take a deep breath. There are more listings coming. That's what I can say for Sydney anyway, for the areas that we're looking at.
Absolutely. And I think it's just worth underscoring that, if prices are artificially low and yet, the vendor knows and has a different price, then there's a lot of shenanigans that goes on, a lot of conversations that are just wasted. The other point, though, of course, is that you can get definitive information about the sale price, not off the portals, but by going to the New South Wales valuer tool. You can actually look at particular houses or units in a particular road or a particular suburb, and you can see all the prices of settled properties over the last for as long as you want to do, really. So there is a way for people who are considering buying, and indeed vendors who are considering selling, to get the definitive stake in the ground with regard to what properties actually settled for. And I can't understand why that isn't more widely used, Edwin, because it seems to me to be quite a valuable resource.
Well, it's all about controlling the information, isn't it? That's how it's a digital age. It's easy to control the narrative. It's easy to control the information, or the amount of information that's put out. The information can be distorted, and I'm sure sooner than later there'll be an AI of me out there, spruiking all sorts of shit online because they've captured my face and my digital print, and there'll be all sorts of things happening out there. I mean, it's all about controlling information, isn't it? And that's what we're going to see. And unfortunately, we've allowed these beasts, CoreLogic, Domain, REA, we've allowed them to get too big without bringing them to accountability, and now we're paying for it. And this is the problem. This is the problem that's happening not only in this industry or in this realm, but it's happening all over with other social media platforms and other points of information. And the question is it going to get any better for the consumers of information, or is it going to get worse in terms of more being taken away, or more being pulled down from search engines and the like? The unfortunate thing is that if you want good information, if you want some of the more truthful, you want to do a lot more in this industry, you have to pay for it, or you have to do a lot of digging and spending a lot of time researching, which what we've said for a number of years, Martin. Research. And when you think you've researched enough, go at it again. But look, there are some great points about the industry, Martin, and there are some great agents out there that are very, very helpful. And I just say, don't just talk to one or two in your area that you're looking at. go and invite a few for coffee. Either, sit down with them for, talk to as many as you can. It's a big decision, especially now when prices are going well above the million in a lot of areas. More of a reason why you should spend more time talking to different agents, and you'll get the feel, you'll get the gut feel, you'll get to know who to work with, who not to work with, who to bypass. But look, at the end of the day, Martin, it's going to be more listings on market. We'll start pulling prices down, and a lot of these underquoters are going to get caught out, and they're going to get caught out badly.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've heard it here, folks. Be very cautious, be very aware. Do the research, and as Edwin said, keep digging and keep asking for more. And it is interesting that there is information out there. It is out there if you know where to look and how to unpick it. But the trouble is that there's a certain laziness around the place. There's a certain, if it says it must support in the portal, it must be right. And we know, of course, that's not necessarily true. So not all information is equal, is it, Edwin?
Well, no, Martin, I'm just waiting for, I've got to start putting on different disguises, Martin. I'm going to get deplatformed soon, and I'm going to, being asked probably not to attend auctions or find different ways. That's why I'm growing my hair, Martin, so as I can. It's easier to come up with different disguises with long hair, I've been told. So I'm growing my hair so I can be able to disguise. It's harder when I'm with shorter hair. So I've got to do what I've got to do for my clients and. My colleagues. The good thing is I've got a good team that I can delegate some of the stuff that I otherwise would do. But I can tell you one thing for sure is don't just rely on what the agent's given you. Don't just rely on what the agent's information is. Go check it with others. Check with the competitors, and they'll be more than happy to tell you what what's right and what's not.
That's true too. Edwin, I appreciate your time today once again. As always, very, very important messages. And we'll do it all again next week, hey?
Oh, look, definitely. If I don't melt away, Martin, if I don't melt away, and I'm looking forward to the vaccine. But I prefer my colleagues, the auctioneers and the underquoters to get the vaccine first before I go. I want them to trial it with them first for at least 6 to 12 months before I go out and get it.
Fair enough. Well, we'll pick up again next week unless you've been replaced by an AI.
well, the AI may be better looking and speak more truthfully than me, Martin. So who knows? Could be a good thing. Could be a bad thing. We don't know.
See you later, Edwin. Thanks very much.
Bye. All the best.